And good evening, everyone. This is Mulberry Blue Shimmer in an AboveTopSecret.com member podcast. Now, a few days ago, I talked about the Howard government's proposed new anti-terror laws and the possible infringements they would have on civil liberties here in Australia. Well, earlier today, it emerged that Howard might not have the support from any of the state governments that he hoped for, as they seem to be perfectly engaged in a bidding war between themselves and the federal government on who can pass the toughest laws to fight terrorist activity. Now, the two frontrunners in this game of one-upmanship, at the moment at least, are the Western Australian and the South Australian governments. The federal government only wanted to introduce random bag searches at transport hubs and other sporting events, and to me that was bad enough. The WA government wants to not only give the police the power to stop and search, as well as entering and searching people's houses without consent. Now, this kind of law already exists in the state of Victoria, but as I mentioned in a podcast I recorded last night entitled Melbourne After the Release of the Now Infamous Tape, no warrants have actually ever been issued under this law. Now, WA wants not only these powers handed to police, they're handing them to them on a silver platter. Jeff Gallop, the WA Premier, wants to take away the provision that courts issue the warrants under this legislation for searches and give that power to the WA Police Commissioner. Now, in my opinion, this takes away a much-needed check and balance of power and leaves the people of WA open to an incredibly powerful police force, something which, to my knowledge anyway, is pretty much unprecedented in Australia since the convict and gold rush days. Now, the police commissioner's warrants, as they're called, can be issued, which allow the police to locate and search people for up to 7 days. Now, while that might seem better than the 14 days of detention proposed by Howard, I really question the wisdom of handing that kind of power to the police themselves without the restraint of a court. Now, in WA at least, the commissioner would be required to inform the police minister of any such kind of action within 48 hours. A lot can happen in those 48 hours. Now, South Australia has also gotten into the act, with South Australian Premier Mike Rann releasing a statement that his government was also considering introducing restraining orders preventing people from addressing gatherings or disseminating material inciting terrorism. And I have to wonder just how far such powers will be taken. Given that we've already seen the arrest and upcoming deportation of an American non-violence activist in Melbourne on the weekend, something we're incidentally still waiting to hear the reasons on, I must wonder how this kind of law will actually be used, especially in regards to silencing the rights of free speech. Now, just like WA, South Australia wants to introduce a law which also will see the police being given the powers to search without a warrant. And just to put this into perspective for you, this kind of power would actually exceed powers available to ASIO. Even they need a warrant, and from what I can tell, would also need one under Howard's proposals, but apparently not the state police. Now, the South Australian Police Commissioner is also required to report the reason for invoking this kind of authorisation to the Attorney General following any kind of action. But that kind of action would already have taken place, and it doesn't necessarily follow that these laws will not be abused at the outset. Excuse me. Queensland and Victoria are also apparently considering new legislation, although announcements haven't been made as yet by either of the premiers in these two states. Nothing at the moment seems to have been announced by the Northern Territory or Tasmanian governments, nor the government of the ACT, which is the Australian Capital Territory. And I'll record another podcast on that as more information comes to light. Kim Beazley, the leader of the federal opposition, came out today in praise of these kind of laws by the states, saying that Howard should look to them for guidance, and in particular New South Wales. He seems to regard the New South Wales anti-terror model as one that other states should follow when considering anti-terror legislation. He said that New South Wales had extreme powers to be used in extreme circumstances, quote unquote. Now, apparently, New South Wales law requires, and once again I'm quoting here, activation of an event with a properly scrutinised report to the police commissioner. That allows an area to be locked down and searches to be undertaken. Now, okay, that sounds like there's still some checks of power in place there, but can someone in New South Wales maybe tell me if courts can still issue warrants, or is it again up to the police to issue their own? Now, Beasley then took this and ran with a slanging match against Howard, and he went on to comment that it's surprising that Howard and Mr. Ruddock seem to be unaware of how far the states have actually moved in legislating this kind of stuff. And once again, I'm quoting that the Commonwealth ought to be out there making absolutely certain that cargoes coming into this country are properly surveyed, that crews operating ships along our coastline with dangerous cargoes are properly studied. That kind of practice ought to cease. And apparently, he also stated that a report is supposedly coming out saying that airport security is a comprehensive mess. And his final comments on this were, "You want my comment on what the states are doing? Good. I know about that and I know the details of it. You want my comments on the practical measures that Mr. Howard has put in place? Inadequate." Now, once again, civil libertarians here are completely up in arms about these new developments, describing the WA and South Australian governments as children in a squabble with the federal government over who can pass the toughest laws. And in the wake of not one but two potential threats against Australia, it seems that governments here are taking the protection of their citizens and turning it into a game of anything you can do, I can do better. I'm wondering if they're forgetting that the people of Australia actually need protection in their squabbles. Incidentally, the two threats I'm talking about are firstly the Al-Qaeda tape, which, by the way, Australia doesn't actually have a copy of yet. Apparently the ABC network in America has the only copy and hasn't handed it on to anyone, and our intelligence services are waiting for it to be turned over to the FBI, and then they're passing it on to us, because we've got some kind of shared information thing going with them. And also, there was a threat made by the first man to be sentenced to death for the Bali bombings, which may or may not have been financed by Osama bin Laden. According to this guy, they were. And also, in breaking news here tonight, which was just in the last half hour or so, a second man has also been sentenced to death for his part in the bombings. Now, the first guy, known only as Royce, after his sentencing and while being taken away, had this message for Australia. And I'm quoting, "All of you will receive heavier punishment than what you have done to me. It should be borne in mind that any act of injustice against Muslims anywhere in the world will not go unavenged. Muslims will certainly avenge this." As of tonight, after the announcement of the opening play in Who Can Have the Strictest Terror Laws, that particular game is only beginning. I guess it just remains to be seen how far the states are going to go in this kind of war. This is Mulberry Blue Shimmer, signing out.